My name is Matthew Angus. I'm a singer.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Jeffrey Lewis. I play bass guitar.
I'm Lorna Germscheid. I sing backup vocals and I play keys.
I'm Alan Rain. I hang out with these guys and load the van and play drums.
Yeah, well, we met Alan, our drummer, at a hot dog eating contest. He was. What were you on, your seventh hot dog? Eighth?
Probably.
Yeah, that was where we met Alan. You haven't eaten a hot dog since? No. No, so then what we did, I think, after we met you, we brought everyone back, and we had this poker party, and we got really drunk, and we had pie at the party. What was it, poker and pie party?
That's what it was.
Yeah, and then we ate a lot of pie, and then we started, what did we do after that?
But you're from Calgary, and what's wrong with you? You're not prairie rock.
We didn't really go outside very much.
I think Matt was pretty much in his parents' basement playing some guitar, learning how to write songs at this time.
Yeah. I didn't let the farmland thing influence us at all, really. And there's enough of that in Calgary, and there's enough of that in Toronto. Believe it or not, there's a lot of prairie rock in Toronto.
You mentioned one before, but I want to make sure that these are true stories. So let's talk about the CBGBs thing. Now, did you win a spin thing and got to play at CBGBs?
Yeah, we won like a spin thing. It was spin and Island Records and what was the other? And John Varvatos, and they all got together and they had this big worldwide contests, and yeah, we won that with two other bands.
So you didn't get the record contract. No, the famous guy from Entourage jumping in to play, is that a true one too?
That's 100% true too. Jeremy Piven jumped in and played a set. I wasn't on drums, obviously, because he was playing my drums. For an actor, he plays really good drums. Yeah. These guys, plus Jeremy Piven, cut in and interrupted Samantha Ronson's DJ set, of all people. Yeah, so that was a trip for sure. But if you Google Jeremy Piven playing drums, you'll find there's at least half a dozen different clips on YouTube of him jumping in with random bands at wherever he's out at.
You posted back in March that you were, quote, looking for a label. One album so far, an EP, right? New music in the can, am I correct?
That's true.
New stuff in the can. What's changed and where is it going?
Well, we were just talking about this the other day, and I think we've changed a lot, because we totally thought we used to need a label, and we wanted one because we didn't have any money, and we were sick of, you know, going broke over making our own music. But really what it's come down to is, like, you know, we practically made this new record ourselves anyway. You know, and all the blood and sweat is kind of weird. You know, I don't know if we need to hand it over to a label at this point. If a label came up to us and said, hey, here's what we're going to do, and it was a good deal, sure, but I don't know if there's any good deals left. And really, like, yeah, I like option number one, frankly. Like, we just want to put together a good team. If a label's part of that, cool. If not, no big loss these days. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, what I do find for right now is, you know, you're going to keep your artistic integrity at that point. You have 100% ownership of it. It for us, it's just taken a lot longer to get these songs out now. Each time we have to wait either for some grant money, which is really good. There's in Canada, there's a lot of opportunity with, you know, Factors and Ontario Arts Council, which is great. We're just finding that by the time we get these approvals in, 4, 5, 6 months have gone by before we've actually had some songs recorded yet. So if we just had the money up front, we would be in the studio for 3 weeks, record's done. No more waiting.
I think it's fair to say what it really comes down to is it's all a question of money and time preventing us from making music, basically. And so whether it comes down to us, you know, finding and putting together a team of people who we can bring in to help us out, or whether it's a case of finding, you know, a ready-made team on a label that is willing to help us out on terms that are good for us. Either way, it's just a question of freeing us up to do music.
So we made our first record, or at least we tracked our first record, and it was a hard process, you know, like we did it in our own studio, and it was 6 months, and you can really get tied up without a producer, and we didn't want to do that again. So we found Howard, and he's sort of, he really got what we're doing, and we're willing to make that work. You know, that's where the money should go. You figure all the other stuff out later. I don't know, but the key thing is getting the music sounding the way you want it to. Then everything else will follow. right, right, right.
Suddenly there were additional members, and you added keyboards. So how did they find you, and how did they convince you that they desperately needed your vocals and your keyboard prowess in this band to add to the overall fast romantic sound?
Well, I think you guys had just come off a kind of like a tour, and we're struggling with two members who are kind of trying to fill in keys and vocals, and that wasn't quite working. And I was working at Longham Quaid in Calgary at the time. It's a music store, and I didn't really have anything going on, and had kind of dabbled in playing in bands, but nothing really serious. So an organ player who now plays with Deep Dark Woods knew Matt and saw the ad go up and knew me because I sold him gear for his organ and said, well, why don't you ask Lorna if she's free? And so I auditioned, and I kind of liked them. I wasn't sure. They seemed a little bit weird and smelt like Cheetos, but I was like, nah, I'm not doing anything, and it turned out to be really fun.
So getting syncs is a really, you know, it's the new way. You're not going to sell more than 3 records, and we already know that. So is it kind of, are you happy that this music works really well as 30-second little bullets in the background as somebody is biting someone else's neck?
Well, yeah, we were hoping for like a vampire sex scene or something. But we didn't get the vampire sex scene. I don't remember what we got, but we're too commercial for the big labels, and we're a little too, I don't know, do you use the word sophisticated? We would never call ourselves sophisticated, would we?
Because
that's just pompous.
What's the plan? Do you want to be big? I mean, is everybody, I don't think everybody in this room is making their money 100% in rock and roll just yet.
We're sick of working in the coffee shops, and we want to be popular. I mean, there's no shame in wanting people to hear your music, and we want to end up in the States. We think we do really well in the States and Europe. We've already been to the States, and every time we're in the States, it feels really good.
We're not writing music for radio anymore. We're not going like, we got to cut out 15 seconds here or cut that section down because it's not going to fit on the radio. Like, screw that. If we make really good music and it connects with people, then, you know, hopefully it'll find its way to radio. And if not, people will like it anyways.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And it's two of your songs as the bread and songs by anybody else you want to play in between.